This morning I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to one verse in Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. Last week we started a series on invitations in the Bible. We were in Genesis chapter 7 last week about come into the ark. The message this morning is come with us. This is a message that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ should be doing. This is a message that everyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior should be following and take the lesson out of it. But we're going to look at one verse in Numbers chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verse 29. And this verse says this: the nation of Israel is in the wilderness, and some of Moses' in-laws have come to him. And in verse 29 it says, and Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that you are the God of all good. We thank you that you're the God of all promise. We thank you, Lord, that you're the God of all truth. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you just be with us today, Lord, that we'll be attentive to the message that you have for us today, that we would follow its truth and that we would have it change our lives. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will have full reign here today. Lord, I pray that if someone here does not know you as Savior, that today would be their day that they would accept your free gift of heaven. Lord, I pray that if there's some of us, Lord, that need to return to you, that we would hear your invitation and come back to you, Lord, and follow you with all of our heart. Father, help us all, Lord, to be able to share this message, Lord, to others' people. We thank you, and we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. In way of introduction, we see that this is an invitation from Moses. Now, you could get in some controversy into this verse on who Moses is given this invitation to. I believe that if you read this, that it is Moses' brother-in-law. That Hodab is the son of Reuel, who is also known as Jethro. And we know that Jethro is his father-in-law. But the issue is, some people believe it's his father-in-law. It really doesn't matter. It's someone in his family, and Moses is giving an invitation. Folks, the invitation from God doesn't matter who you are. It's universal. And we should not sit here and pick and choose who we give the invitation to. We should give the invitation to who God motivates us to invite. So this is an invitation to a member of his family. We do know that in the book of Exodus, that after Israel was delivered from bondage from Egypt, that they were out in the wilderness, and that Jethro brought Moses' wife and his children with her, and basically said, you need to be with Moses. Moses has sent her back. And in chapter 18 of Exodus, Moses starts recounting all the things that have happened to the nation of Israel, all the things that God had done through him to get his people out of there. And it says here in verse 5 of Exodus chapter 18, it says, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his own, with his sons and with his wife unto Moses in the wilderness, where he encamped in the Mount of God. And Moses told them all these things. But Moses had found something good. He had found God. The nation of Israel had found something good. They had found deliverance. And now Moses is given this invitation to someone in his family. Last week, as we close the message, we know that God's most important mission for us is to see our family invited to come into the ark. It's to see our family members saved. If you can't witness to your family, you're going to have a harder time witnessing to someone that you don't know. We ought to be able to share God's word to those that are closest to it. Everyone needs to hear the invitation. This was an invitation for them to follow the Israelites to the promised land. He said, come to us. We'll go to where God has sent us. This is a fitting invitation for the church to extend. We need to understand that this church exists here to spread the gospel. This church exists here to share the gospel to a lost and dying world. We need to do it here as well as we need to do it through missions. We need to do it individually. We need to share the gospel with our family. We need to share the gospel with our friends. We need to share the gospel with our co-workers. It's a fitting invitation. Come with us, and we will do thee good. Everyone needs to hear this invitation. In the last book of the Bible, in the last chapter, it talks about what the church should be doing. It should be inviting. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, it says, in the Spirit, that's God, and the bride, that's us, say what? Come. And let him that heareth say, come. We've heard good news today. Come. Remember what Philip said to Nathanael? Come and see. We've met the Messiah. Remember the woman at the well? Come and see someone who's told me everything that I've ever done. Oh, folks, once you meet God, you ought to share that with somebody else. And the Spirit of the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that athirst come. And what? Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Moses has told Jethro how God had delivered them from Egypt, how he parted the Red Sea and saved them from the armies, how he's provided them food in the wilderness, water when there was none, saved them from their enemies and everything else. And now he says, come. God's done great things. I love the song, How Great Thou Art, because He is. Oh, folks, that ought to motivate us to invite people to come and hear the gospel message. So this morning I have three parts in this message. The first one is who gave this invitation. It was given by those who were journeying to a better land. Israel had been delivered from slavery in Egypt, and they were headed for the promised land. And in Exodus chapter 18, verse 8, Moses tells Jethro, he says that Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord had what? Delivered them. Folks, we have a simple message. It's a mention of deliverance. No one can take away what God has given you. No one can deny what God has done in your life. And it should cause us to want to invite others to experience the God that we experience. To go to the place that we're going to. To walk the path that we're walking. Who gave this invitation? Those who were journeying to a better land. Do you know where you're going this morning? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? See, the issue is this, we're headed for heaven. We're headed for heaven. We have also been delivered. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the what? Kingdom of His dear Son. See, we are also promised a better place. Before Christ went to the cross, He told His disciples in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, He says, let not your heart be troubled. You know, we talked to the kids this morning about coming and get healed. God doesn't want you to have a troubled heart. He wants you to have joy unspeakable. Life abundant. He wants us to follow Him with all of our heart. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, we don't hide good news. We don't hide where the nearest sale is. We don't hide where the cheapest gas is. We don't hide where things that will have benefit for other people is in this world here. But folks, the most thing we should not hide is the gospel. That's eternity. Amen. That's eternity. Who gave this invitation? Those who were on their way to the promised land. Those who are on their way to heaven. You can't give this invitation unless you're going there.
Right.
You can't do this at all. See, we need to understand that all this stuff is a gift from God. The promised land was a gift of God to Israel. It says here in verse 29, he says, I will give it you. But we also know from what we just read in John chapter 14, he says, I go and prepare a place for you, and I want to come back and give it to you. I want to come back and give it to you. See, heaven is a prepared gift for God's people. See, we're former slaves to sin, but we're now citizens of heaven. We're going to a better place. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, for our conversation is in heaven. Now, I want to dwell a little bit on this one about what conversation really is. It's not about what you say. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are. Because this is about citizenship. The word conversation here is about a legal status, that you're a citizen of another country. And you know, when we were overseas by the Air Force, yes, we looked like Americans. And people would come to us. Some people would come and say, well, we don't like America. Okay, fine. But most time is what state are you from? What city are you from? What's your favorite store? What's your favorite food? What's your favorite TV show? What's your favorite this? They see America as a place that they would want to go to. We should make heaven, as citizens heaven, a place that people would want to go to.
Right.
We should make heaven such that people would come to us and say, where are you going? How are you getting there? What is God? What's this thing about God so you can share? See, heaven's a prepared gift. We're former slaves of sin. We all have a testimony, those who know Christ, of how he's delivered us from our old life to a new life. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of eternal life is the gift of heaven. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, we will preach heaven here. We will preach the gospel here. We will preach God's truth here. We will preach his word here. We will preach his Savior here. Because that's what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
We're going to give an invite. We have an invitation at the end of the service for people to come forward and meet with God. Who gave this invitation? People who are on the way to the promised land. Us, because we're going to heaven. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Who got this invitation? This invitation was given to a person that Moses loved. Now, I've already expressed that this could have been Jethro. This could have been his son. I think it's his brother-in-law. Doesn't matter. See, we don't base our love on who people say they are, but who they are. God loves everyone. God loves everyone. You know, he was part of the family. Now, here's an interesting thing. He was his in-law. Regardless of brother-in-law or father-in-law, he was his in-law. And we know that in our families that in-laws are probably the hardest to what? Love. We always hear all the in-law jokes, don't we? Okay? But God wants us to love everybody, okay? Moses wanted to share, wanted him to share in the blessings that lied ahead. Moses had a plan for him. You know, see, God calls us and gives us an invite for us to be useful to the body. In Numbers chapter 10, verse 31, it says, Hobab said, I've got to leave. I'm going to go back to my kindred. But in verse 31 of this chapter, it says, and he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. They knew where they were going. There was a pillar of smoke in the day and a pillar of fire by night that led them. But here was someone who knew the customs and knew the lay of the land and could be a help. Folks, God brings people to us and invites people to us that can be a help to us, that want to share in that blessing. See, this invitation was given to one who would be helpful, who would be helped in accepting it and help those who have already accepted it. What we need to understand is that God asks us to come. We ought to ask others to come with us, and we will do thee good. It's an honest desire to do good for another person. Take away this today, folks. We're supposed to do good to all men. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to the what? To those of the household of faith, as it says in Galatians. We need to understand that every day we have opportunity. Here's an opportunity that Moses had, and he didn't waste it. He invited them. We need to understand that God cares about every person we meet. The good, the bad, the short, and the tall. The hard to love and the one that we can easy to love. God cares for everyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. See, we need to get God's vision. If God cares for everybody, we need to care for everybody too. We need to care for everybody too. All who accept our invitation to salvation will receive good things. You know, James says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, from whom there is neither any variableness or shadow of turning. God doesn't take anything back. We have the gift of eternal life. We've received it. And we need to share that gift with other people. Folks, eternity is the big thing. And then we learned in Psalm 119, verse 105, that God gives us a light for each next step. And I'll tell you what, I know for a fact that my life has been better with God than without Him.
Amen.
And I can guarantee you this, based on the authority of God's Word, that God's, that your life will be better with God than without Him.
Right.
For us, they will travel with us to heaven. They will share in what God has for blessing along the way. So we say who gave the invitation, we see who got the invitation, and lastly, who guaranteed this invitation. It says here in the last part of our verse, it says, the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. See, Moses had received the promises for Israel from the Lord. He received them at the burning bush. You go back to early Exodus chapter 1, it talks about him being in an ark of bulrushes. Chapter 2, it talks about him killing an Egyptian, taking God's thing in his own hands, and then running to Midian and meeting his wife and meeting Jethro and being out there for 40 years. And then while he's out there, he gets this burning bush experience and God meets him. See, God meets you where you are. God meets you where you are. And God had received promises for Israel from the Lord. He received them from the burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, he says, come! See, the Bible is full of invitations. That come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. We need to come to God today so He can send us out that we can invite others. He says, I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. In verse 21 of Exodus chapter 3, he says, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. Now we know in chapter 4 that they didn't believe him. And God had given him some signs. And then he goes to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh didn't believe him. But just because someone doesn't believe, it doesn't mean that the promises of God are of none effect. It just means that we have to have faith to keep on going. Faith to keep on inviting. Faith to keep on following. See, Israel's future was as secure as God's promises, although initially they didn't see that. They got more work. And they got more hardship. And then Pharaoh did other things to them. And then they went out and they ran out of water and they ran out of food and they ran out of all this stuff. But God provided for them. Because God was going to get them to the promised land. Even when they denied him and they believed the spies' report, he still blessed them. Waiting for the next generation to go in there. Folks, let's be the generation that goes. Let's be the generation that invites. Let's be the generation that knows about God. See, Moses had received promises for Israel from the Lord. He received them from the burning bush. And he knew that Israel's future was as secure as God's promise. Look at Moses' life. Look at Moses' life. See, the Lord guarantees our offer of salvation. He promises to save all them who come to Him. In Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 it says, wherefore He is able to save them to the what? Uttermost. To the uttermost. You know what the uttermost is? It's beyond whatever you could think of. It's beyond whatever you could think of. And He says, uttermost, that what? Come to God by Him. Seeing that He liveth to make intercession for them. See, God promises to save all who will come to Him. Last week, the verse that's in the New Testament says, all that come to Him, He will in no wise what? Cast out. Secondly, He promises to keep them all the way. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, it says, these things have I written unto you that ye may what? That believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. See, so the Lord guarantees our offer of salvation because He promises to save all who come to Him. He promises to keep them all the way. And lastly, He promises a future of eternal life. You know, the issue is that knowing where you're going gives you hope. Gives you hope. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says, in hope of what? Eternal life. They knew that they were going to the promised land. All they had heard about was that it was a land flowing of milk and honey. See, we just have a little glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. We don't know exactly what, but that's enough. God's given us enough. That was enough for Moses to go to Pharaoh. That was enough for Israel to follow God. That's enough for us to invite people. And hope of eternal life, which God with cannot lie, promised before the world began. Lastly, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, Peter writes this. Now, Peter was one that had to be taught the hard way. It's kind of like us. Okay? But he says this. He says in 2 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, whereby are given to us what? Exceeding great and precious promises." See, God doesn't do something halfway. He does it all the way. He doesn't give you partial credit. He gives you everything. He says, "Wherefore are given unto us great and exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be what? Partakers of the divine nature." God wants you to be saved today. God wants you to understand the divine nature today. God wants you to share that with other people today and tomorrow and the next day until we get there. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Folks, we've all escaped the bondage of sin if you know Him. Israel had escaped Egypt. And now they were on their way to the promised land. And now they're going to talk. And they're going to invite other people too. And that's what we should do also. What have we done? And what are we doing with this invitation? If you have never received Christ as your Savior, you need to hear the invitation for salvation today. And accept the free gift of heaven today. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. He was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, had no sin, died in place of a sinner on a cross. Who that sinner represents all of us. So on the cross, He took all of our sins. He died on the cross to be the payment for our sins. He was buried. He was in the grave for 3 days. And on the third day, He rose again to show He has power over death and power over sin. And now He sits up in heaven and He says, "I give you an invitation. I guarantee this invitation." He basically says this. He says, "All you have to do is realize you're a sinner. You can't get to heaven on your own. Realize that I died on the cross for your sins. Accept me as your Savior. Ask me to forgive you of your sins and accept my gift of eternal life." And if you do that in a simple prayer, you're going to heaven.
Amen.
And then you can share that with other people. Folks, for us who know, what are we doing with that invitation today? What are we doing with that invitation? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And this is our final verse. We're going to have a verse of invitation. Musicians can come forward right now. "For I know the thoughts that I have, I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I know where my end is today. Everyone who knows Christ as their Savior knows where their end is today. God expects us all to get saved. That's the expected end. Oh, folks, don't turn off God today. Don't reject Him today. Accept His invitation and come to Him before it's eternally too late, before we don't have time to work for Him anymore. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. Lord, I just ask You for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.